Now, this show is brought to you by ShoreCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, and Orlando. We have Mr. Evan Eggers, president of ShoreCruise.com, is on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
You have just come back from what I hope to hear is one of the most incredible cruises you've been on.
It is. It was a terrific experience. You know, I think there are a lot of cruises that people put on their list and say, someday I must do this before I finish cruising. And one of those is a transatlantic trip on Cunard.
Well, what's also interesting is that you flew over there on Virgin Atlantic upper class. Now, is that part of the program, or did you just decide to do this on your own?
Oh, no. This was a top accounts trip for, you know, the people who sell quite a bit of Cunard like us. And
right.
It was a package of Cunard put the whole thing together for us. And, that's how that happened.
Okay, so in other words, if you book on the Queen Mary 2, the air transportation is not necessarily included on Virgin Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, no. For 2006, they did away with that. It used to be the case that if you booked a transatlantic on the Queen Mary, they included free economy class airfare back again or over, depending on the direction you're going. This year, they decided to unbundle it, so there's no airfare included in the prices you generally get, although they're more than happy to add either coach or business class airfare for you.
Well, tell us a little bit about that flight.
Well, I've heard about Virgin Atlantic. I think everybody probably has heard Richard Branson's name, the guy who runs Virgin Atlantic and the entire Virgin universe. And can you think of another fellow with a ton of money who has more fun with it than Richard Branson does?
Well, Freddie Laker had a pretty good time, but on the other hand, Branson really gets out there.
He does. He just has a ball, and the airline kind of reflects his personality. So I walked into the Virgin Atlantic aircraft has boarded the plane. As I walk through the boarding door, the first thing I'm confronted with is a bar with bar stools all around it. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to be, your grandfather's flight.
No, for sure. That's exactly right. And then, of course, they have these little sleeping nooks, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. So your seat is a little nook all to yourself. It's actually funny. So you have a seat that can go all the way flat like a bed. It also has what doubles as a footrest and a visitor's seat. So a visitor can actually come and sit down with you and chat with you and have their own seatbelt and everything. I'm sitting in the seat chatting on the cell phone with my wife, who's back at home. She didn't get to go with me, unfortunately. I'm like, her name is Jana. I say, oh, pardon me, Jana. Hold on a second. The masseuse is here to schedule my massage for later in the flight. And, of course, my wife is thinking, he's got to be kidding me. He's just making fun now.
Right.
But no, surely the masseuse comes by and schedules you for massage later on. They have a little massage area. They give a hand and arm massage or a neck and shoulder massage. And, so they have a massage nook, they have these lie flat seats, they have their bar. It's a whole different experience. And the crew assured me that, you know, we were on a relatively short flight, an overnight flight from Boston to Heathrow. They said, okay, if you take one of these same aircraft on the Las Vegas to Gatwick nonstop, then you pretty much got a mobile party going on board.
Yeah, I would guess.
I can easily imagine.
Right. The only problem with that, and it sounds like fun, is that if you are tired, there's no opportunity to get any sleep.
Well, you have to have some self-control, Roy.
Now, the other thing is, is this included, the massage, or do you have to pay extra for
it?
No,
it's included. It's included. And it's, for those people who do fly business class, Virgin, I actually checked the airfares. Virgin charges pretty much the same thing that everybody else does for business class,
right.
Except you get this really big step above what everybody else is offering on board as far as the onboard product goes.
It's really terrific. You're absolutely right. Now, so then you get to London, and that's when you did you take the I didn't quite understand. Did you take the QE2 to get to the Queen Mary, or how did that work?
Oh no, what happened was I was just going on a Queen Mary cruise. However, the QE2 had just arrived in Southampton at the end of her 100-plus day world cruise.
I see.
So the people who had been on QE2 were transferred over to join the rest of us on Queen Mary, so that they could then get back to New York.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, which is a nice way to finish up the last 6 nights of a world cruise. And so there are two very interesting things that came out of that. The first is they did a very kind of a spectacular sail by where the QE2 was on her way out of Southampton to go to dry dock.
Right.
She sailed right by the Queen Mary. They set the whole thing to music. You know, there were fireboats. It was really it kind of gives you tingles, you know, having these two great ships.
Exactly.
The QE2 obviously being a legend.
Yeah, and what are the chances of that ever happening?
I'll tell you, the only time it ever happens is when Cunard's PR department makes it happen.
Right.
As it will, both ships will be doing a world cruise coming up this year, and they'll be meeting in Australia.
Oh, that'll be – how about that one?
And the Australians go nuts for these ships, so I'm sure that'll be a big party when they arrive there.
I wonder if they can get onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
I am told that they can, but I don't know that for a fact. semi-reliable source assured me they could.
Well, I mean, it would be pretty embarrassing. Here's the Queen Mary sitting out there at anchor, you know, can't get under the famous Sydney Harbor Bridge, and you have to take a boat over to the Opera House.
Oh, that's too much. So now, the second fun part about the Queen Elizabeth II was that all those World Cruise passengers were on board, so I got to chat with some of them.
Well, yeah, and there were some interesting people, as I understand.
Well, there were some characters. Now, people who follow the cruise industry may know that there's actually a woman who lives on a QE2 full-time. Her name is Bea Muller. I don't know how long she's been living on there, but years. She's been on board for years. And she's a fixture. She has a relatively small stateroom, but she lives there full-time. She's made some deal with Cunard. Now, she actually, when Queen Mary came out, she wanted to move over to Queen Mary, which Cunard said, no, I'm afraid not. So she's still on the Queen Elizabeth, and those World Cruise passengers got to know her and talk to her. And the stories these World Cruise passengers told were hilarious. For example, the story of being, I forget where it was, you know, some port in the middle of nowhere on this World Cruise, where apparently two of the World Cruise passengers, two men, had gotten into a brawl in the laundry room. And these World Cruise passengers, they're not spring chickens, okay? These are relatively, you know, older people on the World Cruise. They got into some kind of brawl in the laundry room and were put off the ship.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. And this lady lives on there full-time, and she's not staff or anything, huh?
No, she's just a passenger. I think this is where you may remember in the media last year, there were some news stories going around about how it might make more sense to live on a cruise ship than a retirement home. I think B is what inspired a bunch of these stories.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, then they came out with that great big ship where you can buy a condo on
that's
it.
Right. That's
just
exactly
sail around
right.
The world. Now, the bad news was you got a little bit of a tummy virus.
I did. You know, being in the cruise business, you can't turn the page in the newspaper talking about cruises without mentioning the cruise ship virus. It's called norovirus. Now, you can't be certain that's what I had, but it certainly the symptoms were consistent with that, which we won't go into detail to avoid grossing out your audience.
Right.
But so you know, I was confined to my stateroom. Of course, what the cruise line does, and I was impressed. So I actually told the cruise line executives on board. So the bad news is I was ill. The good news is I got to experience firsthand how the cruise line treats a passenger in this situation. And the good news is that they treat you like a king. So, you know, if you're feeling unwell, you do have to stay in your stateroom while you're feeling unwell. The reason being they want to minimize the chance that this can spread around the ship.
Yeah, well, good point.
This makes perfect sense.
Right.
But what they do for you is, of course, you have 24-hour room service, as anyone would. They will come in, let's say that you're running a fever. They'll come in, they'll change your bed linen 24 hours a day. They'll come in and clean your bathroom and change your towel 24 hours a day. You know, they give you back however many nights you're cooped up in your stateroom, or at days, rather, that you're kind of quarantined in your stateroom. They give you credit of that number of days toward a future cruise.
Oh, that's interesting.
They comp all your medical expenses. So they don't want anybody feeling like they, you know, don't want to go to the doctor because it'll cost them money to go to the doctor on
that. Right.
So they comp all your medical treatment. They comp the medication they give you. And so I'm sitting there, and actually, you know, I'm the kind of a person who uninterrupted time to work to me is golden. So I'm sitting there in my bunny slippers in my stateroom getting a ton of work done, and I was thinking, if I had to be sick, what better place could there be?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're waiting on me hand and foot, room right. service all the time. So, you know, after feeling, you know, unwell one evening, I was fine, really, the next couple of days before they sprung me from my quarantine. But they could not have been nicer.
Now, when you were out of the cabin, tell us a little bit about the activities and what went on board.
Well, the being a transatlantic ship, the Queen Mary, you know, it was designed to be a transatlantic liner, not a cruise ship. And they have just tons of activities on board. So on this one trip alone, they have a partnership with Oxford University in England.
Yes.
And there were four lecturers on board who lectured on a number of different things. As an example, this fellow named Dr. Andrew Berry speaking about evolution, evolutionists, and islands. This fellow is a research associate at Harvard's Museum of Comparative Zoology. We've got another doctor, Susan Humphreys, talking about the deep ocean, Earth's final frontier. She's a senior scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic up here at Cape Cod in Massachusetts. A fellow named Sir Brian Smith,
right.
Learning to Breathe, talking about the depths of the ocean to the summits of the highest mountain. And again, he's a fellow at St. Catherine's College in Oxford. These are just incredibly storied, notable people who just have the most incredible things to explain and tell you. And you know, these lectures are included for the price of your cruise, and there's plenty to see. You've got the planetarium on board. I love that planetarium. This is not the planetarium that you went to when you were a kid that has one of those big machines in the center with light coming out of it. It's a fully digital planetarium that has shows that will compete with anything you've seen in an IMAX theater or anywhere else.
How terrific is that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. The list of the daily programs goes on and on and on. I never got around to bingo myself, but what are you going to do?
And the sea was calm.
The sea was just as smooth as silk. I was disappointed. I love a rough sea. I love it.
Good Lord.
I'm the person who's sitting on the airplane in turbulence going, "Wee-hoo!" So everybody else loves to hate. So the sea was just totally calm. I was surprised. It was calmer than it is in the Caribbean on the cruises I've taken.
Yeah,
now, to be fair to your listeners, that is not always the case.
No, exactly. And
yeah.
So one has to be prepared for a little rougher seas.
It is still fair advice to say that if you do get seasick, avoid a transatlantic cruise. I just got lucky.
And how long was the crossing?
The crossing was 6 nights.
6 nights.
6 nights, which is interesting. The world record crossing time is just shy of 4 days, back in the days when they would race across.
Right.
So it's interesting. They could do it quicker if they wanted to, but it's a leisurely trip. It gets a great time to relax, very relaxing.
Well, and then, I understand, you got to meet the new Cunard president.
That's right. Carol Marlowe is the new president of Cunard. She's actually based in Britain, and she is a Brit. As any president of Cunard, she needs to have a British accent. She just has to. It wouldn't be right otherwise, and she does, so that's good. And she is a lovely woman. Got to sit down and talk business with her and talk about Cunard and what they're doing. Of course, the Queen Victoria is coming out in 2007. That's a big focus for them, having a third ship join the Cunard fleet. It's the first time they've had three queens in their fleet, I don't know if in forever or many, many years, but one or the other.
Not bad to have in a poker hand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So they're very excited about that.
Now, tell us about the new Brooklyn terminal.
Yeah, so this is the second, the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal, of course, the inaugural voyage was when the Queen Mary arrived 2 weeks ago. So when I arrived this past weekend, it was the second time the ship had been there, and you'd think they'd been doing it for years there. It was very well organized, very fast. Doing a cruise terminal kind of from scratch, that's not landlocked over on, in Manhattan, they were able to spread out, have plenty of room for the, several lanes for buses to do transfers, a couple of lanes for cars, for people who are coming and going with taxis or private rides. And just to flow through the whole building, since they basically had this huge warehouse that was, they emptied it, they gutted it, and then they built the passenger flow to their liking in it, and it turned out very well. You got a fantastic view of Manhattan from there, you got a fantastic view of the Statue of Liberty, so it's a nice spot.
And efficient, as you say.
It is. It's very efficient, and the ride from there to LaGuardia was like 24 minutes, 25 minutes.
What about passing under the Verrazzano Bridge?
That was a treat. I'm not an early person, Roy. I'm just not. I mean, if you wanted to interview me every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., we would not have anything going on. 11 o'clock I can do. The Verrazzano Narrows Bridge, we passed under that at 4:15 in the morning. I actually rousted myself to see it. And the reason it's especially, first of all, sailing up to the bridge is beautiful. It's still dark out. It's all lit. You can see yourself coming up to it. But then the fact that the Queen Mary's stack height was limited by that bridge. That's what dictates the overall height of the ship, is the need to be able to pass under that very bridge.
Right.
And as a result, you stand there and watch, and from the standing on deck, it doesn't look like it's going to work. And just the sight of that stack that's barely passing under the bridge is pretty exciting. And then, of course, 20 minutes later, you're going by the Statue of Liberty, right, which those immigrants did for so many years.
Yeah, it had to give you goosebumps.
It does. It does give you goosebumps, and you can tell that people were excited, since there were a lot of people out on deck at 4:15 in the morning to enjoy all this.
So, what I gather from all this, that you would highly recommend to our listeners that they have a look at the QM2.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ship is outstanding. The food is fantastic, and in all three, right, and basically all the restaurants on board, and the food is great. The restaurants that are reserved for the people in the most expensive cabins, the only difference really is the menus are much larger, many more options, but the food is uniformly excellent around the ship.
And am I correct in assuming they can go to shorecruise.com and find all that information?
They most certainly can. We invite people to come along.
Okay. Evan, thanks very much. We got to run, and hopefully we'll be chatting again next week.
Absolutely. Have a great show, Roy.
Okay, thanks. Bye for now.